You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our latest look at the Cleveland Indians. I am joined this week by Jim Rosenhaus, filling in for Jordan Bastian. Rosie, thank you for your time. And, boy, man, I think we're both still processing what a wild October it was here in Cleveland. Indians made that great run to the World Series, go up 3-1 on the Cubs. It goes seven games. Game seven goes about 19 hours, and since there's a rain delay and the Indians losing, just an absolute epic game that that a lot of people are going to remember for a long time. But what was your October experience? How do you sum up what you just witnessed for the past month or so?
Well, Anthony, I think if for anybody who is a part of a postseason team that makes a deep run like the Indians did, it becomes a blur in a great way. And you look forward to every next game because they just seem to take on added importance as they go. And the Indians, surprisingly, I think to many, not only defeated the Red Sox and the Blue Jays on their way to the World Series, but really made quick work of both. And I think that was probably the biggest surprise, was how quickly they won both of those series. So it just increased the optimism that they would be able to win the World Series, even if it was going to be against the Cubs. And then they got off to that great start. So just a wonderful month, some exciting baseball, unknowns in certain spots getting the job done. And really for the Indians, I think a big surprise, not only getting to where they did, but how they did it and taking it as deep as they did.
And, Rosie, how do you feel about the narrative that the rain delay cost the Indians the World Series? Because from what I understand, Jason Hayward, the Cubs gathered in the weight room during the 17-minute rain delay, and Jason Hayward gave a speech, and that is why the Cubs won the World Series. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's unfair to both teams, really. I don't think that's fair to the Cubs, and I don't think it's fair to the Indians. The Indians, they had tied it on the Davis home run in the eighth inning. And the way Chapman was going at that point, you kind of thought, well, maybe they can keep getting to him and not necessarily finish the job because there was still another inning left, but perhaps take the lead right there. So they had an opportunity to take the lead in the eighth inning, and then they had another crack at him in the ninth. So to say that the rain delay ruined that, I don't think that's fair to either team, because the Indians had two opportunities to score before that, and the Cubs got the job done. And they came out after the rain delay and obviously put together a rally that proved to be the difference. But I don't know. I'm just hesitant to say that Brian Shaw came out and was not as good after the rain delay. I think the Cubs just put together some really good at-bats and got the job done, and the Indians battled back again, but just couldn't get over that hump. And is there significance to holding a meeting, maybe to steady some nerves, which apparently were a big part of the equation for the Cubs? I think that's fair to say, but I don't think the rain delay, I don't think that would be fair to either team to say that decided the World Series.
Yeah, I was baiting you there, Rosie. I just wanted you to call bull on that. So thank you for doing so eloquently. Yes. All right. So for the Indians to get back to the World Series, a lot has to go right again in 2017. I will say, though, you're looking at the landscape of this American League Central, and the Indians have, they had those Rajay Davis and then the Mike Napoli contracts. Those contracts worked out wonderfully for them. Now both of those guys are free agents, and they're going to either have to resign those guys and hope for more of the same from them, or replace that production, one way or another. But you look at the way this club is constructed, and obviously if the rotation is healthier than it was at year's end, and if Michael Brantley can come back, those are some pretty big additions right there. But I'm just looking at the landscape of the AL Central in general, and you've got a rebuilding situation in Minnesota. You've probably got a rebuild that's going to start on the south side in Chicago. The Tigers could blow things up this winter. They're talking about moving some major names, Justin Verlander, Miguel Cabrera. Nothing's really off the table there right now. And then the Royals don't have any money to spend, and they're going to have to try to piece it together. And, they've already seen Kendrys Morales defect in free agency. So my point is, it's hard to imagine a scenario where the Indians don't go into 2017 as the clear favorites in this division.
And I think that's fair. They love the core group that's coming back. And the key will be, I thought Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff at the top of the front office had a wonderful season from the point of signing Mike Napoli and Rajay Davis in the offseason to the work that they did during the season, both at the trade deadline and then just before you had to set playoff rosters in acquiring Andrew Miller, Brandon Guyer, and Coco Crisp right before the August 31st deadline. So all of those moves had significant impacts on this team. They would be hard-pressed to do that again, but I think what it does do is give you confidence that they can go out and find the right people in the right situations to help fill a need if that's needed, and it will be. And when you talk about pitchers and players coming back from injury, certainly the hope is that Carrasco and Salazar will be fine on the pitching front and Brantley will be fine on the position player front. But the reality on that part of it is someone else will get hurt of significance. It will happen. Nobody goes through a season without injuries. I think what the Indians showed this year, though, was the ability to overcome that. And maybe that's a mindset that starts in the manager's office. Maybe it's a tribute to the depth that they had in the organization this year and is still prevalent. So that's a key, certainly. And I think it is fair to say, based on what's going on with those other clubs, but I think we've seen in years past, a lot of times what you think is going to happen when the season starts isn't always what eventually happens. And one or two of those teams that is in a supposed rebuild is probably going to play better than people think, at least at this point in time.
Yeah, that absolutely happens, and sometimes young talent that doesn't know any better performs great, and a team makes a rise that was unexpected. And there is something, it's not that this is a deal breaker by any means, but there is something different about going into the season with expectations versus being a team like the Indians who, some computer projections love them going into 2016, but they were not a popular pick to win the division. Or to go, certainly not to go as deep as they did. So there's something about overcoming expectations versus living up to expectations. They're two very different worlds the Indians will encounter in 2017, but certainly that's the position you want to be in. You want those expectations heaped upon you. Thoughts on Napoli and Davis? Potential to bring those guys back? What are you thinking?
Well, it seems that both would love to come back of course, at the right price. I think they both had a real good experience here this year, and obviously the team would like to work it out. You do have age as a consideration on both. And for Napoli, if someone were to come at him with a three-year deal, I think he'd take it in a heartbeat, and I don't think the Indians would try to match that. You got to believe 2 years max would be where they would go with Mike Napoli. At what dollar amount, I don't know. But I can't imagine that they would go 3 years if that's out there from someone else. And then on the Rajay Davis front, it'd be interesting to see. He's a little bit older, and speed is a part of his game, but he takes such great care of himself. And it's interesting because I was having a conversation with someone else earlier today about Rajay Davis and his type of game and maybe the Michael Bourne comparison as a speed guy at the top of the lineup and how it just didn't work out for Michael Bourne in Cleveland, the stolen base numbers were way down. I think in Davis's case, his experience in stealing bases, aside from just the raw speed, was a big key for him. I think you can be a good base stealer and not necessarily have the blinding speed be the determining factor. And I think in Davis's case, he had good speed, but also was a good base stealer. And I don't necessarily think that was always the case with Michael Bourne. And so maybe he ages better, and the Indians would take that into account. Plus, if he's looking at another situation, and he talked about this, that the numbers that he had stealing bases this year as opposed to the last 2 years with the Tigers just aren't a team that runs much based on how their lineup's built. But the Indians put a great value on running a lot and being aggressive on the bases, so it was a good fit for him, and there might be more of an alignment along those lines between him and the Indians because of what they know after this year.
Yeah, I wonder, with Napoli's situation, the Indians did not extend the qualifying offer, and that's good for Mike Napoli. He's not tied to a draft pick in this market. And maybe it helps him get that third year. We'll see. Kendrick Morales was in a similar situation where he was not extended the qualifying offer and ends up getting a three-year deal with Toronto. So never know what the market will bear. I will say this, Rosie, just for the record. Had the Indians won that World Series, I know exactly what I would be writing right now. My column on MLB.com would be trade Andrew Miller because you got exactly what you wanted out of him. And now flip him for, 80 cents on the dollar from what you gave up midsummer at a time when relief arms are so prized. But suffice to say, safe to say, Andrew Miller is not going anywhere this winter, especially given these circumstances.
Hey, you never say never, but I think you and I both would be extremely surprised. Now, could you see it if the Indians struggle the first 2-3 months of next season and find themselves on the outside looking in at the trade deadline? Absolutely. But for them, with the way their team is constituted, as close as they got and what they have coming back, I can't imagine that you would see that at this point going into the season, because he's such a big part of what they did down the stretch and on in the postseason. So it would be a surprise if they were to do it until they see how the season is going.
All right. I want to thank Jim Rosenhaus for his thoughts on what is a very special time in the Indians organization as they try to build off their 2016 successes. And we'll continue to cover that in future podcasts here. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.